Join RNIB Connect and become part of a wider and stronger community led by blind and partially sighted people. Membership is free, and it's the best way to keep in touch with things that are of interest and help to you. You'll receive Connect magazine, our membership publication, in your chosen format, as well as having the chance to be amongst thousands of like-minded, blind and partially sighted people, friends, families and supporters. You'll also be able to take part in and organise social activities in your area, campaign for change and improve the lives of people with little or no sight, and get help from our dedicated RNIB Connect support team. It couldn't be easier to join RNIB Connect. Simply complete the online form at rnib.org.uk or join over the phone by calling 0303 1234 555.
The Weekly Connect on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Weekly Connect with me, Stephen Scott.
And me, Jill Barclay.
And coming up this hour, we are back and we are talking about canes, yes. And the great cane debate. Should we be blinging up our mobility aids?
Well, should we indeed? We'll also be finding out about a fantastic young woman called Tamuchi, who's just won an award.
And listener Claire Potter shares her thoughts of an app that will help you enjoy yoga without leaving the house. That's all to come. I like the idea of not leaving the house, Jill. I haven't wanted to leave the house in some time.
Well, I am exactly the same. And yoga, oh my goodness, I love it, especially over strawberries and raspberries. Oh.
Yeah, I like watching other people do yoga. Is there an app for that? Or maybe we shouldn't ask. Yes, so hello, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Did you have a nice time over the festive period?
I ate a lot, which probably gives you the answer you're looking for, which is yes.
Well, you practically had to butter my hips to get them through the door, Stephen. Honestly,
well, we had to do each
ate
other.
A lot.
It was a difficult challenge.
Honestly,
this week.
I feel as if all I've done is eat, drink and clean up.
Yeah, well, the cleaning up part, my dishwasher went on the blink. So that was basically it. I had to buy a whole new set of cutlery and dishes because I wasn't washing them. That's just
well, that's
ridiculous.
Why I've always said, why don't we just survive on paper plates
and
plastic knives and forks? I'd be quite happy to do that, but I get kind of disapproving looks when I say that.
I know, but it actually is a really good idea, if you think about it, because you just throw it all in the bin. I mean, I'm sure that somebody will say that's bad for the planet, but, you know.
Paper plates, you can recycle.
True, yes.
And I suppose if you were to get the plastic together from the cutlery, you know, you could have plastic fork and knife and spoon bins.
And if you're blind, it's safer.
Are we verging on the ridiculous here?
I don't know. I think we're onto something.
Is it just New Year hysteria?
Paper plates for the blind. I think it's a business waiting to happen. We're back and we are here. I think we're ready to go. I feel like I'm at that point where I've eaten so much I can't eat anymore. So I thought we'd better come into the studio and do a show.
Well, I suppose. I mean, it's what we're paid to do, so...
It is, yeah. I mean, can you believe we get paid for this? But yeah, we do, and this is why we're back. We have got the Great Cane Debate coming up. I don't know about you, Jill. The Great Cane Debate is, of course, all around blinging up our canes. And, you know, my wife has a pink cane, which she actually bought from RNIB. And it's got this sort of pink handle, but that's the only bit of it that's pink. I think the bits that sort of connect the cane together, those are pink. And the tip is pink, which is quite amusing. But, you know, there are big questions around this. Should you do it? Should you bling up your cane? Should you bling up your guide dog? I mean, you know.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, Stephen. In all honesty, why shouldn't you? I think anybody that, you know, has a set of eyes that work would know that if you were walking about pushing a cane in front of you from left to right, they'd get a good idea that you were kind of trying to find your way. You know, and the other thing is, if you had a guide dog with kind of sparkles around its collar or sparkles around its handle or flowers or whatever you want to do to kind of accessorize, well, surely they're going to know that the harness is, you know, part of a mobility aid for a guide dog. I don't see what the problem is, really.
Well, it is a bit of a debate. Let's hear from Basil Oxtoby, who's been talking to some blind and partially sighted people on this topic, to get their reaction.
The cane debate. Mobility aid or fashion accessory? There is a big debate in the blind and partially sighted community about whether canes should always be white or if they can be colourful to represent a person's individuality. Snazzy, safe, or both? I spoke to four cane users about what they thought. Where do you stand in the cane debate? If you want to join the conversation, tell us what you think and share your photos and videos on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram using the hashtag HowIsee.
I'm Leah, I'm 18 years old, and I don't actually have a specific eye condition.
That is an unusual response I get, Leah. Can you elaborate a little more for us, please?
There isn't a specific reason that my sight problems can be put down to. There are lots of contributing factors, and I have a connective tissue disorder, which, as well as affecting all the collagen in my body, means that when I've had operations on my eyes in the past, my body doesn't heal in the way that other people's bodies do. So that caused complications, and there's just lots of small contributing factors that have led to the final effect of me not being able to see very well.
So why are you here today?
I'm here because my two canes both have colour. So one of them is entirely pink the whole way down, and the other is a white cane, but the handle and the tip are both pink. So it has pink accents, even though it's still a white cane.
The fact that you have one which is completely pink, does this confuse people? You know, they might only recognise a white cane being associated with the blind and visually impaired community.
I mean, it definitely depends on how much knowledge of the VI community that the people who are looking at it have. So personally, if I'm using my other mobility aids, so if I'm using my crutches or my wheelchair, then I will always use my white cane because it then becomes much more of a symbol than it is a practical aid. Whereas if I don't want to stand out, if I don't want people to look at me and the very first thing they think is, oh, she's visually impaired, that's when I use my pink cane. So I actually took it to prom because I wanted people to look at me and think, oh, that's a pretty dress, or oh, her hair looks nice, as opposed to, oh, that girl over there is visually impaired. And it definitely did that. It was able to blend in with what I was wearing. I was using it just for the mobility aid, as opposed to really showing people that, please be careful because I have a visual impairment.
Well, Leah, thank you very much for talking to us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
It's okay. Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Chloe and I have mild cerebral palsy. But as a result of that, it has meant that I have visual cortex disorder, which affects my peripheral vision as well as short and long vision.
So, Chloe, do you think people should be allowed to customise their cane, or, as some people are referring it to, as blinging their canes?
I think you should be allowed to bling your cane, but there needs to be an element of safety in terms of when you have cars, especially on a night, the white cane will reflect the light and they'll be able to see you. But then I think that personalising mobility equipment is something that also is really important to make it more you.
What I've heard a few times today is that people may not be able to differentiate between different coloured canes. Do you think it maybe should be limited to the handle or the roller tips, or...?
I think that's down to you personally, because I use a walking stick part-time, and that's a yellow stick. That's completely yellow, but then a stick is a stick, and regardless of what colour it is, people don't differentiate what that means, whereas a cane, the colour is symbolic. So I wouldn't be against it, but I think if you can, maybe only do the bottom and the handle, or, you know, I think there does need to be an element of white still in there.
Even if people don't understand blindness, sight loss or visual impairment, these people still probably would, even at the back of their mind, recognise a white cane and what it stands for.
Yeah, definitely. Even if they see a white cane as someone being blind, as wrong as that is, at the end of the day, they still realise it's to do with your eyesight. So there is still that underlying, right, I need to move out the way. Whereas if it was yellow or purple, they might be like, what is this? And not really know what they can do to help or what they should do to, like, support you within the general.
So when you wake up in the morning, Chloe, how do you decide whether it's going to be a cane or a stick day?
I normally carry both, which is a pain. But if I physically am having a worse day, I will use my stick and someone can guide me. Whereas if I use my cane, I feel more independent because I don't need someone to help me with that. But then it's kind of getting that balance of not hurting yourself too much, but wanting the independence.
Well, Chloe, thank you very much for talking to us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
My name is Robert Meikle, and I have aniridia and glaucoma.
First off, Robert, where do you stand on customisation of canes?
I believe that where I stand on the argument, I would say that I myself don't like the idea of customising the cane too much. I feel like it kind of distracts from the visibility of it, so I feel like it may be a detriment to my safety, especially at night, as my vision's a lot worse at night. However, with regards to other people, I feel like they can do as they please, because it might enhance their confidence, for example. So, I believe it's a good idea, just for myself, it's not.
So you wouldn't colour yours in any way?
No, not really, no. Especially with the tape. I mean, the handle, you know, I could maybe get a different coloured handle, you know, maybe blue, or quite like the idea of the red. But I would never go anywhere near the tape, because the tape is what I use for other people to recognise that it's a cane. You know, at night, the light kind of reflects off it. So, you know, if you put anything over the top of that, it's going to distract from that.
Do you think it's also going to distract people from the importance of a cane?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that it could distract from, you know, people's perspective, you know, what they are seeing in the cane and how people use it. But as well as that, you know, it's people seeing the cane itself and understanding that that is being used by a visually impaired person. It's so that, you know, they can move out of the way when they see it. Because at night, I you know, sometimes it may only be until someone's right in front of me that I can see a silhouette. It's not even a person. So I could quite easily just walk straight into somebody if they hadn't noticed the cane, you know, if they hadn't even noticed me. But they will notice the reflection of the cane. With regards to the red and white cane, though, you know, if people wanted to customise that and felt like it wasn't a detriment to the safety or the understanding of other people, I think that's fine as well. That this is just my opinion on my circumstances, if that makes sense. And to add even further to that, you know, the way that people see the canes themselves, I suppose, you know, they just need to learn that, of course, a red and white cane is for a deaf, blind person or a deaf and visually impaired person. And just a standard cane is for somebody who's visually impaired. With that, any customisation that comes with it is just customisation. I suppose it's just it's a social thing. You know, people just need to learn. And I suppose, you know, if you explain to people, they will then understand.
Well, Robert, thank you very much for talking to us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Sassy. My eye condition is uveitis iritis, which is essentially arthritis of the eyes.
So Sassy, when it comes to the cane debate, are you for or against?
I'm in the opposing camp. I think that a cane should definitely be accessorised if you'd like it to be that way, but I think the main body of the cane should stay white because it's a universal symbol.
So you're opposed to customising canes. Is this because people who might not understand everything that goes on with sight loss would only recognise a white cane?
Yeah, no, I think it's because there needs to be far more education than what there is in schools, colleges, universities about disability as a whole, not just blindness. But if you see a person with a white cane, you do generally realise, oh, that person has a sight problem. A lot of people may think you are totally blind, which is incorrect. You're not always totally blind if you use a cane or use a guide dog. But public's perceptions still need to kind of catch up to the times, I believe. And to bling your cane by having it different colours, personally, I think, needs more education from schools and government for then the public to appreciate that that means it's still for a person who's got a vision impairment and not just, oh, that's a cool looking stick.
So people need to really understand what cane is before we start dollying them up?
Yes, in my opinion anyway. Like, I think that if you bling up a handle and the roller tip, go for it, go crazy, because yeah, you are a person, you have the right to feel like the cane is fun. So why not? But when public perceptions are as they are, even in 2017, you know, people still can't distinguish the red and white striped cane and what that actually means. To bling up a cane and have it purple, black, blue, whatever colour you fancy, they're just going to think it's this cool thing rather than an aid for you to get around safely.
Well, Sassy, thank you very much for talking to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
So if you want to join the debate, show us some pictures of your canes, just let us know your thoughts. Join the conversation on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram and use the hashtag HowIsee.
Okay, so a mixed bag of views there, Jill, on the topic of whether or not we should be blinging up our canes or not. Some saying yes, some saying no. It's an interesting topic because, you know, we kind of want to personalise anything, I guess. I mean, all of us, we all have a personality. We want to show that. And if you have to use a mobility aid, like I use a white cane, then it would be quite nice to give it a bit of a sparkle. You know, if I was able to put an Apple logo on it, I'd be quite happy about that.
But you know something, Stephen? Whose business is it anyway? I mean, if somebody mistakes your cane for, you know, something completely different, then maybe you might want to revise your thoughts on the matter, especially if it did put you in danger. But I cannot see, you know, in my own mind, what anybody would mistake it with. To be honest,
I think, you know, it's a couple of things, isn't it? I mean, obviously there's reflective tape on it, which you shouldn't really mess around with because, you know, cars need to see you. And that's one of the things about the cane. I mean, I was out one day for a walk and it was, don't be shocked by that. I did actually go out for a walk. It's not a lie. I'm not making this story up, honest.
Sorry, I'm just rolling my tongue back up and putting it back in my head.
Well, what I'd done is I'd actually taken the dog out because he was needing a walk and it was very early. I think it was 6 o'clock in the morning and I just couldn't sleep. And I thought, right, I'll get up and I'll take the dog for a walk. Really bad idea. Because first of all I did was wear black. So from black to head to toe. And I'd gone out with the dog, I had the cane, and thank goodness I had the cane in that respect, because I crossed the road thinking it was clear and a van nearly took me out with the dog, and it was actually, I think, the cane he saw more than anything else. And, you know, that's really important. It's important not to muck around with the reflectors, but at the same time, if you want to add a bit of colour to it, and, you know, I mentioned earlier about R&IB selling these canes, you can actually buy blinged up canes. Ambutec, the company that make a lot of these canes, they've brought out a range for younger people, because it goes back to that argument, doesn't it, about, you know, what people think about blindness. They think blind people are just old people, and yes, old people can be blind, but so can young people. I mean, look at us. Well, you know, young's maybe pushing it, but, you know, we're,
I think our age group's the age group that, speak for yourself. I think
I was
our
for that.
Age group is really the age group that are least kind of thought about in blind world, because yeah, we do a lot for blind children, which is absolutely necessary, because you want to get in there with many, many kind of things, you know, education wise and things like that from the kind of grassroots level. But, you know, also aging and blindness is something that kind of can go hand in hand. So there are many old people that are blind, but it's the kind of middle age group that you know, people like me, I might be 40, but I still want to, you know, funky things. I still want to wear my makeup. I still want to get my hair extensions. I still want to, you know, get dressed up and look, you know, good as far as I'm concerned, feel good. Why shouldn't you bling up your cane if you want to? Like, I don't have a cane.
I was going to say, you don't use a cane, but if you were going out, you wouldn't want to take, I can't imagine you being the type of person who, if you did have a cane, you wouldn't want to bling it up, because you would think, well, I don't want to take this black and white thing out on the streets, you know, when I'm looking the way I do.
I would want to bling it up.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah,
I would.
Absolutely.
I'd want to have probably one for every outfit. I'd have a Chanel one. I'd have a Prada one. I mean, I'd go to town on my canes if I had a cane. I don't, because, you know, they scare me. But I don't think there's anything wrong. I think if you're using the reflective strips properly and that people can see you because of the reflective strips, then where's the harm? And I think it is very, very much, you know, just none of anybody else's business.
Of course, the problem is, though, that people do say, well, you know, if, and some people did say there in Basil's piece that, you know, if you don't recognise it's the cane because of what you've done to it, that could be negative. So you could be walking down the street with this and they'd think, well, what is that? I'm trying to think, it hasn't happened to my wife because her cane's pink, as I was saying, and she's never had any, there's never been any issue that I'm aware of. But then I suppose no one would walk up to you necessarily and say, well, you know, that's a really odd thing you're carrying around with you. What is it?
But Stephen, people who are using a cane are using it extended in front of them and they're either tapping or, you know, dragging from left to right. It's kind of obvious what it's for, no?
Well, do you know something? As having had the experience more than too many times, actually, of people who just don't get it. They have no idea what it is. I mean, I had one guy who was trying to show me where something was, so he grabbed the cane and pointed at it.
But he knew.
And I thought, well, hang on.
But he knew that the cane was because you couldn't see very well.
He thought my eye was in the bottom of it.
Well, he must have done. Maybe it
he
was.
He thought the tip
even.
Was my eye.
Is that not how it works?
Of course it is, yeah. It's just an eye that drags around the ground and looks for things.
But he knew it was a mobility aid. He knew it was a symbol of blindness. So he was pointing at it with your cane because obviously he thought there was an eye at the end of it. But at the end of the day, he thought it was a visual aid. So, you know, I don't think people would really get mixed up in what. And I think as well, you know, there is a posture to somebody who uses a cane because usually people are quite straight backed.
Yep.
You know, there's a look of blindness about it. What else can I say? There's a look of blindness.
It feels bad at times, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Like there's a look of blindness about a guide dog. I mean,
well, I was going to ask you about that because you've had the guide dog, uh-huh. And you know, I'm just thinking, you know, my memories of a guide dog were too long ago, but you know, what I do remember about it was people just got it instantly. Nobody really ever questioned or wondered what it was. I think it's about education. I think it's also about the fact that a dog, it all kind of makes sense to people. Even if you've never met a blind person in your life, you see a person with a dog in a harness walking down the street, it just clicks. It's almost a look of blindness for some people, whereas
yes,
the cane
no.
can be very robotic and it might feel a bit more.
Yes and no. I think some people think that I'm training the dog at times. And
Don't wear blue tops.
No,
that's
definitely
the tip.
Not.
That's the tip there.
But the other thing people think is that, you know, you're either maybe a puppy walker or you're training the dog, or that you know, is it a dog for the deaf? Is it a dog for epilepsy? Is it a dog for diabetes? Now that these dogs are becoming more frequently used around the UK, then people can get it a little bit mixed up. And I just think that this, you know, the biggest symbolism of blindness is the white cane. It was there first before the dog.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, get in touch. Tell us what you think about this. The debate continues. I'm sure we'll be arguing about it.
I'm right.
Yeah, well, would we ever think anything else? GB, that's what I've got to ask. Listen, you can get in touch. The Weekly Connect, rnib.org.uk. We're on Facebook and Twitter and all those fancy things as well, aren't we?
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, get in touch with us. Tell us what you think here on the Weekly Connect. Now, let's hear the story of a remarkable blind woman, not Jill. Another remarkable blind woman, let's say, who recently won an award after coping with a myriad of illnesses and losing her vision.
My name is Bimucha Mishaka, and I won the award for Self Management. It's in the category of a transformational story of the year. This was an interesting and exciting opportunity to be given to me. I've been nominated so many times for different awards, but I've never won, actually. So for me to have won this award was a testament of the hard work that I have put in sort of managing the various medical conditions and disability that I live with, and, you know, to be acknowledged as someone who actually makes those steps and continue to rise above the challenges I live with was a good thing. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difficult bit, isn't it?
Yes.
It's trying to manage, as you say, various disabilities, various conditions.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that from your point of view. It always ends up like a laundry list, doesn't it? It's all these things that we talk about. But I want to start off at the beginning, because you were born deaf.
Yes.
And that's part of Usher syndrome.
Yes.
That you've got, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, for those who don't know, tell us a bit about Usher syndrome.
Well, actually, you know, learning about Usher syndrome personally as well, but it's a condition that affects both the hearing and sight. According to the experts, I should have actually become completely blind in my teenage years.
Right.
Luckily, I only got diagnosed in 2012 to have Usher syndrome. So I grew up deaf. I actually didn't speak well until I went to university, because that's when I had the first hearing aid. I grew up in Uganda, in rural Uganda, which had no facilities for audiology. So to be honest with me, with you, I had challenges in terms of learning to communicate. But the skill I developed as a child was to lip read. I was a good lip reader.
Right.
And I trusted my sight, like 100%.
Yeah, and that's how you can hear me.
Yes, I used to joke when I was a little younger that I could have done a job of a spy because I could see people standing in the distance and tell you what they are talking about, and people would be amazed.
Hey, these days, anything's possible?
No, of course. Yeah, of course. But now I can't because I can no longer focus, that far. I have lost the sight, so I'm not able to do that. And it's been quite a challenge to actually acknowledge that I can no longer do the lip reading the way I used to. And that's been part of my loss with the journey in sight loss. So that is RP and deafness. And then in 2012, when I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, I also was diagnosed as having diabetes type 2. And recent tests have confirmed that there's a deterioration in terms of the retina. So while I had lost all the peripheral vision, and I've been having little bits in terms of tunnel vision, that is going to be affected hugely in the next few years.
That will get worse.
Yeah, to get worse if I don't manage the deterioration caused by the diabetes. So here we go in terms of the challenges that I deal with.
It's quite, I don't know how you must think about that, because you have Usher syndrome. Mm-hmm. Your sight should, in theory, have gotten worse because of that. But then it was retinitis pigmentosa that actually caused you the problems back in 2012. I mean, that's kind of odd, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people, I guess, think that once you've got an eye condition, you don't get another one. But that's not true.
No, that's not true. I also have other medical conditions that I don't usually like to talk about in public. But I will take medication for the rest of my life. So I suppose there's nothing that can scare me anymore in as far as adversity is concerned until my final resting time. So it's about listening to your body, and that's exactly what the award was about, being able to know when you need support, being able to let yourself have a break in terms of what you're dealing with. I mean, obviously, you can imagine that some of the issues I deal with have huge impact on mental health, and I've struggled with my mental health since 2003. I was taking antidepressants from 2003 up until this year, when I decided that enough was enough. I'm going to, of course, working with my psychiatrist, agreed a withdrawal strategy. And I can say that I've spent now 4 months without antidepressants.
Only
the antidepressant. The other medication I have to continue to take. Oh, yes.
But as you say, you did that in with your doctor, with specialists. You didn't make that decision.
No. I didn't make that decision on my own.
No.
Because I still, at the back of my mind, I said, well, I'm dealing with so many things, they're not going to change. I have to learn to deal with them on my own, with my own self managing the process. I also acknowledge that obviously there'll be a time when things overwhelm me, and when they do, obviously I go back to the doctor and say, look, I'm not coping, I need to do something. I mean, for instance, recently my sleep pattern has been, getting bad, struggling to actually sleep, and obviously I know that's one of the signs of depression, but I'm still hanging on and trying to explore whether I could self-manage with the condition that I have got, but without necessarily taking antidepressants. I'm not saying everyone can do it, and this is really something that I really must make clear. Individuals are different. I have to try it at a personal level. If I fail, I know I will have tried. And that's the thing that I'm working on.
It's I think it's quite brave of you to acknowledge mental health, because I think a lot of people don't talk about mental health when it comes to, especially sight loss.
Yes.
Here at RNIB, we talk about sight loss all the time. That's what we're here for. And people don't often connect mental health to it, do they? And there is. I mean, there's a real mental health. I think it would be ridiculous for any of us, including myself, to say, well, we've all gone through it at some point, and it might be different ways that it comes in. Mm-hmm. But in your case, I mean, you had so much going on.
Exactly. I mean, for me, you know, I think that any major event in someone's life, whether it's titles, whether it's a long-term diagnosis of any other medical condition, whether it's grief, has some form of impact on someone's mental well-being.
Absolutely. It must
have. And we have to accept it.
Yeah.
And acknowledge, you know. And some people do manage to overcome those challenges without needing treatment. But those who need treatment should actually get the treatment they need and the support they need any time before it reaches a crisis point. And I think for me, you know, early on in the process especially, I began to acknowledge the impact exactly of mental health, especially when I started to lose my sight. As I have said, I had got used to living with deafness. That has been part of my life all along. But my sight was the only perfect thing that I thought I had. And when that started to go, my world fell apart with me. But with the support I have got now, at least I knew one of the things I was worried about was that because I couldn't read or produce the reports I do for my work, I was going to have to lose my job. But access to work came in with the support of my employer. I now have technology that enables me to do the work that I want to do, you know, without struggling too much. I still do struggle. I'm not saying it's a silver bullet. No, let no one lie to you. That is the case. You still have to have that determination to learn how to use the technology first and foremost, you know.
And that can be a challenge.
It can be a challenge. I just got a new laptop yesterday, which came from Access to Work, and it came with a pre-installed reader. And because of my deafness and the way my hearing aids pick out sound, I could not process it quickly. I'm still having to go back and say, can I actually use that? Or shall I switch off the recorder and try and strain my eyes to see what is on the screen with magnification? So it's about acknowledging things that can work for you at a particular time, but also being able to identify where the barriers are and the challenges and deal with those. Because I think fundamentally the support is out there, but you do not know that the support is there unless you have information, unless you get the know-how of how to do these things as well.
And it's not about giving up. It's not about giving in. It's nothing to do with any of that, actually.
Yeah.
It's about acknowledging so that you can move on. And that's what you've done. I mean, you've used all of these, you've brought all this experience together of what you've gone through with all of your various health conditions and disabilities.
Yeah.
You've brought all that together, and in the end, you've managed to pull positives from it because of all that support as well.
Yeah, I think for me, I cannot put a price to the support I get from the various sources of organisations I've interacted with. I'm involved with a whole range of other organisations. For example, I'm a member of the board of Deafblind Scotland, and I've got that excellent support from Deafblind Scotland, ranging from being able to apply for, you know, personal independent payment, which I would not have known about unless I got that support, being able to get the registration for my sight loss, being able to, now, you know, I've learned that deafblind people also have a different form of communication, which I'm going to try and learn, because in the event I have lost the tiny tunnel vision I still got, I need to be able to have braille reading, and they teach that. So that there is a different version of, I can't remember the name of the communication.
Is it Moon?
Yeah.
Moon.
Moon. You see, you're very knowledgeable about this thing. So Moon was a very interesting dimension. And, you know, I go into these meetings and you see people touching their hands and communicating, and they are following the discussion. And I'm like, I should be thankful that I can still open my mouth and utter a few words if they make sense at all, honestly. And someone has to do that, and someone else has to verbalize that. So it's about acknowledging that there are different steps and different challenges, but people still find ways of overcoming them.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's meeting other people who go through the experiences you have. I mean, I spent a lot of time in denial about my vision, and I didn't want to be part of any blind groups or communities or any of that stuff. And when I stopped that nonsense, when I actually gave, not, I don't want to say gave in, that's the wrong phrase. It might feel like that, but it's not. But when you say, okay, I'm going to welcome this world into my life, suddenly everything starts to just feel a bit better. It's when you have that first conversation with someone and you say, and someone says something to you, and I don't know how many times it might have happened to you, but it happened to me a lot, where people say things to you and you say, that's me.
Yes.
I do that.
I do that.
And suddenly it feels like you were at first the only person on earth who experienced this. And suddenly you're not.
Yeah. Well, in terms of my, I have a cousin who is blind. So in terms of living with someone with sight loss, I had had an exposure. And actually, for me, once my sight loss began to really, really take its toll, she was my first point of call. She said, look at me and the things I've done in life. And, you know, I should have given up, but I never gave up, because she only became blind when she was 21 as a medical student in Uganda and drank poison through some party, you know, problem that happened at that time. And she lost her sight. But she went on to go on and do a different course at university and even did a master's degree. So for me, that was my role model. So I'm not fearful of where I'm going, because I know someone who has gone there, and I've met now so many other people that have been there, and it's been a source of support for me. So I acknowledge that. And how I get to RNIB Scotland is through the project I Care, You Care. Around 2014, I think I met the wonderful researcher Danning, who told me about the project of working with Africans with sight loss in Scotland. And I thought, actually, at that point, I was going to be the only black or African with sight loss, leave alone my other complex issues. And I went into this room, and there were all a range of people, you know. And one of my best friend, Henriette, was also in there. And I didn't realize, you know, I had seen her with glasses, but I didn't realize she actually had sight loss. And
that's interesting.
It's through that I began to realize that we are actually living with these things, and unless someone tells you, you wouldn't know.
Well, that's it.
So it's been helpful to meet other people who have experienced this these issues, and I keep saying that you cannot put a price on the power of peer support. You can't put a price on it. Being able to speak to someone who understands the pain you live with inside. Because let's not kid ourselves. We know that we would want to be the other way around. You know, I would have wanted to keep my eyes in perfect condition if I had a choice. But being able to speak to someone like I've spoken to you today and feel that the denial I feel sometimes has been experienced by you as well. And that, at least luckily, I had been a disability activist all my life, actually. So for me, being able to speak to other disabled people has been a source of my strength as well. But, you know, it's increasingly knowing that I have to remember that I have different components of me, and I have to then look at myself as a person, but identify the various challenges related to sight loss, related to deafness, related to medical conditions. But at the same time, at the end of the day, I emerge me, an African woman, trying to survive at the end of
exactly,
the day.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, isn't it? You're trying to just get by and get on. But I think your story will speak to a lot of people listening, saying, maybe at the beginning of their own journey, if you like, and they might be sitting at home thinking, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I think that's the interesting bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
We go from, and this is where the mental health part comes in, I think, because you feel so lost.
Yeah.
You feel so alone. Mm-hmm. You just think the world is continuing on around you. You often hear that example used when someone dies.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone dies close to you and then you see you look outside the window and people are milling around and talking and life just goes on and you think, how is this possible?
Yeah.
And it takes time. And I think, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think it's important for us all to allow ourselves some time to grieve this.
Yes.
But then there's a point that comes where you say, okay, enough is enough.
Yeah.
I must move on. I have to move on for my own sake.
Yeah.
Because we can't live our lives angry. Yeah. We can't live our lives feeling lost.
Yeah.
And it's important that if you can, get in touch with RNIB or, you know, another organisation that might be local to you that deals with either vision loss or hearing loss.
Yeah.
Get in touch, get involved, because having that first step conversation can make a world of difference to you.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I cannot add to that. You know, you've said it so wonderfully. There is nothing like feeling lost and with no one to talk to so that you can find the next step forward. I think that fundamentally important that people know that there is support out there, but we have to have the information of where to go for that support, because also not every organization will be knowledgeable about the issues of sight loss, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, so you need to have some organization that have some specialist knowledge in some of these issues. So for sight loss, obviously, I would obviously come and speak to Gozi and Diane, you know, about whatever issues I'm dealing with. But when I look at deaf blindness together, then deaf blindness question becomes my other point of call. So I've been blessed in a way that I've been in a position to find people that can support me. But not everybody has that information or had that support, and I think the message should be through this radio that people actually listening know that getting support is a good thing, and that once you walk through that process, it's possible to make a difference. Because if I tell you how frightened I was going to be living a life of a hermit, between my woes, I didn't think I was. I remember crying for 2 days. You know, the third time I told my employer I'm going to the eye examination. I don't feel like going. My eyes are already gone. What's the point? He's going to tell me there's nothing they can do about it. And my employer, you know, a very busy man, decided, okay, come, I will support you. Let's all go and know from them what is it that we can do so that you can, I'm sure there is a way in which we can support you to continue to do your job, whether it meant working part-time or improving aspects of your work to suit your needs. So there is support out there. Don't necessarily take note or know. Try and explore the alternatives, and there is information and support out there.
So here's my final question to you.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know about the support that's out there, mm-hmm. and also knowing that your sight will get worse.
Yeah.
Do you still have hope?
Well, that's an interesting question. Yes, I think I've told myself instinctively that I'm a survivor, and I will survive whatever life throws at me. That's first and foremost. So that is that sense of self-belief that I'll cope with whatever until the very end. So that's one. Two, yes, there is hope in the sense that whether your sight goes completely, there's still, you know, braille reading and writing, there is voiceover, there is all sorts, in fact, which make things even faster than, you know, the interest. For me, I think I'm yet to be able to read a chapter of a book by someone else doing the hard work for me, you know?
It's quite nice,
you know,
isn't it?
I need to tell my hearing aids and my brains to get used to that.
Yeah.
And make it like a conversation, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm just sit and relax and listen to this interesting book, you know. And you have the opportunity to even pause it and say, what have I picked from that? Let me take a mental note of what I've heard. Yeah. You know, so yes, hope is there. I think hope is one thing that keeps us alive. You know, I speak to a lot of people who say, keep hope alive. Because the moment you lose hope, then everything goes downhill. So we have to acknowledge, as people affected by citrus and other conditions, that we are human beings, we are survivors, and we are hopeful that we will survive the next tragedy.
It's been a real honour to speak to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
I wish you all the best, and well done again on that award.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, really, to win it. And I hope other people get some inspiration from that. Thank you.
Really interesting to hear there from Tamuchi. Thank you so much for sharing your story here on The Weekly Connect. You could be on the programme next week. All you've got to do is get in touch with us. You could be on chatting with us. Now, Jill, that is an offer you just cannot refuse in 2018.
Do you know, that's probably going to make anybody's year.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, if you've got one resolution this year, that's got to be it. Speaking of resolutions, have you got any this year? Are you doing the resolution thing, or have you just decided to give up?
I have decided that this year I am going to give up Lent.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Right, so what does that mean? What does that achieve? What do you get from that? No Easter eggs?
No, I'm just not going to give up anything for Lent. No, I don't do that kind of thing anyway. To be honest, I think when you make resolutions, you're setting yourself up for a fall anyway. Yeah. And I think there are many things that you can kind of say to yourself or that you want to achieve in the year. But I think to kind of start off in the 1st of January is, you know, really silly, because let's face it, we're all kind of suffering from the night before, a lot of us.
Mm. It's good to have something in mind, though. And I think fitness is the one that comes into a lot of people's minds at this time of year. Yeah, I know. I laugh because every year, I think since I was 25, I said this. Oh, this year I'm going to lose weight. And well, we're still struggling with that one. But what I do like is this idea that Claire Potter, who got in touch with us about this, she has always wanted to do yoga. And I mean, I've heard of yoga. That's as far as it goes. I think I tried it once years ago.
No, that was Nuga.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's similar in some ways. But this is yoga, which you can do at home, all thanks to a smartphone. I am so keen on this idea. This is Claire's Simply Yoga app.
Hi everyone, my name's Claire, and today I'd like to demonstrate an app called Simply Yoga. It's available for iOS on the App Store, and it is for iPhones, iPads and iPod Touch devices. I would say that this app is by far the most accessible one for people with low vision, very low vision, or no vision at all, and want to do things like yoga, but they can't afford to go out to classes, so they want really clear, nice audio instructions rather than having to look at the screen to know how to do the workouts. So I downloaded this app about a year ago. There are two versions. There's a free version, which gives you just one difficulty of workouts, so you just have three ready-made workouts. The paid version is $4.99. I purchased the paid version, and I would say it is the best purchase you could make, because having to pay for an actual assistant to go just to one class would cost you a lot more. So, like I said, this is $4.99 from the App Store, and that gives you the option to have the workouts from the free version, plus you have some level 2 workouts, so you have three more that are slightly more difficult. Because after a bit you can get quite bored of just doing the same workouts over and over again, and once you get bored of those workouts in level 2, in that version you also have the option to create your own workouts, so you can make them even shorter or even longer than what you already have. For example, you might want just poses where you just sitting on the floor, or you might just want standing poses, or just ones where you're laying down on the floor, or you might want just a mixture. So you get all those things in the paid version. So like I said, it is really worth it. $4.99, it is just a one-off price, and you have all those options for, well, forever, really. I'll demonstrate this app on my iPad Mini 4. I'm using it with VoiceOver. Like I said, it is very, very accessible. Just the one thing to note, once you select your workout, and you press the start button, you just double tap where it says start workout, VoiceOver will speak a little bit once the instructions start, but you won't miss too much. It won't be anything too major that will affect your workout too much. So let's go into the app. It is on the home screen, so once I find it, I just double tap to go into the app.
Spotify, Simply Yoga. Double tap to open.
So just double tap.
Selected, Simply Yoga, 20 minutes, button, 1 of 3.
So for the predefined workouts, we have 20 minutes,
40 minutes,
40 minutes,
button, 2 of 3, 60 minutes, button,
and 60
3
minutes.
Of 3.
So 20, 40 and 60, these are all pre-made workouts. By default, it is level 1, so next to the 60 minutes, if we swipe right one more time.
Selected, 1, button, 1 of 3.
So we have the 1 and the 2.
2, button,
like I said,
2 of 3.
All I'm doing, as soon as I go into the app, I'm just swiping to the right. That's all I'm doing. I'm not doing anything else in particular right now. So the 1 and the 2 are your two difficulty levels of the pre-made workouts. And then next to that one, because we're in the paid version, we have
hammer and pick, button, 3 of 3.
Now, they could have named that a little bit better, but once you get your head around it, it is actually the option to make your own workouts. Also, if you've already made a workout yourself, a customized one, that is where you'd go. You'd double tap and you select the one that you've created already, or if you haven't created one, you would select the create new workout option. And you would select your poses from there. Next to that, if we swipe right one more time.
Start workout button pad. Button.
So we selected our workout, and now we will just double tap this button. We also have
colon equals button.
Now once we start our workout, this is where you would double tap to see how far you're into it and what pose you're doing. It would also show at the bottom of the screen, so it just depends what you want to do, really, what you find more comfortable doing. Next to that, we have
more apps button.
This is actually the more apps button. So any other apps which have been done by that developer, they would be in that section. And we also have
info button.
We have info, which is just telling you about the app. So if you double tap that, you will read a little bit about it.
Gear button.
So gear is actually the settings for the app. So it's where you can customise the app to suit your needs and put in some details so it's more personalised to you. So I'll demonstrate a quick workout just so you can hear how clear those audio instructions are. Like I said, VoiceOver will speak a little bit once I press the start workout button. So once I find it, I double tap it. But it will speak for too long. You will hear it.
Info, more colon, start workout button pad, button.
So double tap.
Start workout button, dimmed, button.
Mountain pose is a basic standing pose. It is a place to start from and return to. Stand with feet together. Feel your abdominals pull in tight and relax your shoulders down and back. Close your eyes and gently rock forward to the toes and back into the heels, coming to rest in the space between. Softly open your eyes and gaze forward. Feel the length in the spine. Keep the arms relaxed down by the sides of your body. Press down firmly through the feet, bringing energy to your legs. Feel calm and grounded as you breathe deeply in this tall, quiet pose.
Back pause pad.
So I've just paused it so you could hear those instructions. Like I said, they are really, really good. Like I said, I really like this app. I don't think there's another app like this, especially for yoga, because a lot of them, you have to look at the screen and you have to rely on the pictures of, you might have little like stick men showing you the poses, which is not really accessible for people like myself who have no vision, and anyone else out there who is not really able to see the screen that well. So like I said, I really like this app. The $4.99 version is really, really worth it. It is absolutely amazing. And I don't really purchase that many apps, but this one is one where I didn't really hesitate because I knew that it would be quite good. If you're not ready to make the purchase just yet, you can always get the free version. Like I said, it is on the App Store, so if you just search for Simply Yoga, it will come up. and you will get the two versions, the free version and the paid version. So you can always start off with the free version, get yourself familiarised with that, and then once you're used to that and you get fed up with all the workouts that are already in there because they're just that boring, you can get the free version, the paid version, and make your own workout or try some slightly harder workouts. But it is really worth it. You do have the ocean sound in the background while the instructions are talking, but you can also turn that off. So if you just want instructions, that's fine. I personally quite like that because it is just a little bit more fun rather than just listening to a voice all the time. You know, you have the sound of the ocean. It just makes time go a little bit faster. So yeah, if you want to get yourself into yoga and get yourself a little bit more active and more flexible, then go for this app. I really hope you find this useful.
So there you go, Jill. You can do yoga in your front room and nobody cares. But I think the idea of doing stuff at home is good. I mean, you can do all this. We talk about it in Tech Talk all the time. You can do all these exercises now at home using smart technology that's already there.
Stephen, these things are great, and I do my hula hoop at home sometimes, but I think sometimes you do need to go along to somewhere where you'll be pushed and motivated, and you know, you're being forced into doing a full class, whereas, you know, oh gosh, I remember going to a spin class. Have you ever been to a spin class?
Hideous.
My husband took me to a spin class telling me it was beginners, and after 10 minutes I was hanging over the handlebars almost throwing up, and I had to leave the class. I do the walk of shame through the class, and the guy said to me, you know, I don't know why you two came along to the advanced class.
Oh dear.
And I'm like, because my husband told me it was beginners.
Well, I'm not doing that.
No.
In fact, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to walk more. That's me. But listen, you tell us what you think. The Weekly Connect at rnib.org.uk. That's Jill and I's therapy session for another week. Thank you so much for being with us. We're back next week with more of your voices and hearing from you as well. If you want to get in touch, The Weekly Connect at rnib.org.uk. Jill, thank you as always.
Thank you, Stephen.
We'll catch you next week. Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
RNIB Northern Ireland, supporting people with sight loss.
Sound Vision Online is a podcast service from RNIB Northern Ireland, providing news, information and entertainment for people affected by sight loss living in Northern Ireland and beyond. Listen to podcasts about our projects and support services, upcoming events and real life stories on issues that matter to people living with sight loss. Every 3 months, we produce a compilation CD of features which we can post to you free of charge. So to start listening, or to register for your free CD, head to www.soundvisiononline.co.uk.